Nice to see you all. And it's been 15 days since Christmas, hasn't it? I'm not counting down till next Christmas yet, so don't worry, even though I know it's been 15 days. And I guess that's sort of where Jacob might be alluding to around Epiphany, around, not often it's the celebrated on the 6th of January as a time of the revealing of, a revealing of who God is. And Gary spoke a little bit about that last week, which was really cool. I really liked how he drew that out around the Magi, the wise guys, and how it was like a sign of God being revealed, God coming amongst us to all people, to the Jews and the non-Jews, to everybody. So I really love that. That's really cool. But this morning, I'm jumping ahead to a story, which is often included in Epiphany stuff with liturgical churches, but I'm jumping ahead to a story that happens next in the Bible after Jesus' birth and the Magi visit to Jesus from the east. The next thing we know is that Jesus is 12 years old, the same age as Pilat, same age as Madison, that's 1 year younger than Aaron, 1 year older than Ezra, 2 years older than Connor, so it's all this stuff around in there, 2 years younger than Ruth and Sophie, yeah, so it's right in the back bang middle of a whole lot of our young people. So we've read the story. Thank you very much, Dwayne, for reading that for us. It's a really interesting story of Jesus at 12. The Word of God was a preteen, fun-loving and emotional. Well, probably. Moving towards independence is a scary journey for both parents and the young person when you're talking about preteens, with plenty of potential conflict as ways of relating and trusting adapt and parental authority is tested and relaxed. And we have an incident here, don't we, in this passage? We have an incident. Jesus has done this trip. He's done this festival for over a decade now. He's racked up some experience. He knows the ropes. And he steps out towards where his heart is drawn. Perhaps not considering how Mary and Joseph would feel. I don't know if any of there's ever been a preteen that might not have considered their parents' feelings. I don't know. And Jesus becomes fully absorbed in conversation with rabbi, scholars of the scriptures. I wonder where he slept that night. And I wonder how he ate. Mary and Joseph must have been incredibly worried. And yet in this incident, a way forward is negotiated. Both sides listen and both sides speak. These years are often called the whitewater years, aren't they? And maybe going on a bit into the teenage years. And many of you will appreciate why this is so. Many of you will have memories, no doubt, of painful times, of confusing times, times of change. And hopefully also memories of, I'm thinking as parents, also memories of times of helpful decisions and intentional acts of love that maintained relationship. It seems the Joseph and Mary whānau are negotiating this season really well. Now, let's consider a bit about what's going on inside for a preteen, whether that be with Jesus, with our own kids, or the kids in our neighbourhood that we've been called to love, or maybe as grandkids as well. While it's obvious preteens are growing in all areas, as all tamariki do, all of us do, it's especially noticeable with their social and emotional sides. So we've got a little bit of general information about what's going on for, roughly 10 to 13-year-olds, but, that's can vary a little bit. So as well as being super fun and friendly, puberty often leads to the common belief that everybody is watching you, especially how preteens look and how they act. So that can lead to feeling quite self-conscious. Preteens often believe their experiences and emotions are unique and therefore only experienced by them. And that can give rise to feeling quite powerful, like in a really, really positive way, and invincible. So it's quite a fascinating and confusing blend, isn't it? That self-consciousness and that powerfulness. Personality changes can lead to inconsistent behaviour, like being happy and affectionate at one moment and then resentful and weeping the next. And so parenting and grandparenting is an investment in patience and empathy and in continued support, regardless of responses given. This age group has increasing independence. Thank goodness there's no more nappies or car seats, that breakfast can be sorted themselves, and getting off to school can be done independently as well. You know, organising things with friends, asking to go with play with friends, that's starting to happen quite a bit in our house. It's fantastic. They're learning how to interpret other people's words and actions. They're wanting peer acceptance is quite high on the priority list. Changes in the brain affect the ability to think and plan, maintain short-term memory, organise thoughts, control impulses, problem-solve and execute tasks. Ooh, is that an excuse? Or something else going on here? I think something else is going on here. And I'll get to that. But it's sort of like if you politely hold the door open for someone, who then, as they walk through, they say, thank you. And then you try to say either, you're welcome, or not a problem. But it gets all mixed up and it comes out as, you're a problem. It can be a bit messy when you've got all this stuff going on inside. So research consistently shows that the frontal cortex of the brain, which is responsible for these common sense type functions, doesn't fully mature until young adulthood, and maybe for some of us a lot longer than that. It's normal and it's to be expected. Furthermore, emotional responses are heightened in a still developing frontal cortex, so there's more emotion and less ability to process it. Hence the teenage drive for pleasure-seeking and limit testing. So being a preteen and living with preteens and ministering to preteens is complex. And of course, genetics and experiences and environment all play a part too. But as we know, I really want to emphasise this, that it's a super fun time of life. It's exciting. And preteens are just brilliant. They're, I work in one of the best ages. Curious, into life, love being around people, heaps of energy, really good at making friends. They're starting to become more aware of what they like and what they think, and great conversations can happen with preteens. And us oldies have all been there ourselves, haven't we? I wonder what you were like when you were that age. I wonder. When I'm relating with people younger than me, at my best, because I don't always do this, but at my best, I try to remember what I was like at that age to help me have a bit more compassion, to help me recall what some of the challenges were and some of the delights. So here's me as a preteen. Oh, what? Hang on. Was that you? Friend. I didn't plan that. It threw me a bit. Oh, that's me. I mean, or is it one of my kids? Oh, looks like Aaron. Oh, he's very handsome, isn't he, Aaron? Poor Aaron. So a big thing for me was getting picked on a lot at school and not getting along with my brother. I had a whole bunch of fantastic adults in my life that I know looked out for me and encouraged me, so that was really awesome. I especially love rugby and tennis. And although this picture shows a, even though this picture shows a soccer football jumper, I'd been delivering newspapers for a couple of years and took on a second run and was involved in helping kids in various ways, so I was becoming more responsible as well. And a huge thing for me was getting my first cool clothes. That was like massive. And it didn't happen until I was like year eight, form two. I was a bit of a late adopter on that. My mum still delights. Oh, I cringe, but I'm going to tell her anyway. My mum still delights in telling people how I loved and wore. Oh, so my special favourite bit of clothing, the first cool label thing I had was a Rip Curl t-shirt, surfing brand. So my mum still delights in telling people how I loved and wore that t-shirt so much that it eventually ripped and curled. Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's what I think. Yeah. Big eye rolls. So what was it like for you being a preteen? I wonder what standout memories are for you. The good, maybe the not so good. What was it like? And what can we do when thinking about and relating to preteens as individuals and as a church? Well, here's some thoughts I've got on this. Firstly, in no particular order, but having empathy that emotional responses are still being developed, showing patience, having continued support, affirming love and acceptance regardless of appearance or actions, helping reflect gently with them on decisions that have been made. Sleep is really important, so parents, grandparents, sleep, super important, brain development. Maintaining some expectations of behaviour, still really important. Giving time to calm down and gain perspective. Helpful outlets like sport and creative expressions. Talking about important and complex topics like climate change, politics, values, tough topics like poverty and war. And having a heap load of fun, creating memories. Those things are really, really important. And we can pray for our youth and for our preteens. Especially as we kick off a new ministry with preteens this year. On February the 6th, we're going to be welcoming our new youth worker, Ethan. We're going with a shared lunch in the service on the 6th of February and with a shared lunch as well. And we're going to be looking to develop a team of perhaps older youth and also, and especially, hopefully, adults to work with this preteen age group. So that's just something to consider and tuck into the back of your mind. Or maybe not the back of your mind, somewhere else. Our passage this morning says, or in the version I was going to read out, was says, unbeknownst. I thought, oh, that's a different word. Unbeknownst to Mary and Joseph. Jesus had stayed in Jerusalem. So they didn't know Jesus wasn't with them at the end of the day, travel back to Nazareth, because they were a part of a community marked by care and trust. So sure, nobody knew where Jesus was, but the fact that they were okay with that and with independence-seeking preteen Jesus being a part of the wider faith community, that's a beautiful thing and something that we can hope our wider community feels with their preteens being a part of our faith community. This piece of scripture also says at the end, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favour. So I think there's some really good goals in there for us all. Firstly, and we can tick this one off pretty quickly, increasing in years. Tick. Pretty sure that's going to happen for us. So we'll achieve that goal. But what about wisdom? May we increase in wisdom like Jesus did this year. The Bible says that wisdom that comes from above leads to being pure, friendly, gentle, sensible, kind, helpful, genuine, and sincere. So may we also look to recognize these traits in our preteens this year. The Message version ends this passage with the words, and Jesus matured, growing up in both body and spirit, blessed by both God and people. And so may we also know the blessing that comes from knowing and following God and finding favour with people that is marked by peace and openness to God's ways. So that's all I've got this morning. But also just wanted to mention that I'm off on leave this afternoon. The kids and I are visiting family and friends in Auckland for a week. And then we're going to be self-isolating on a beach. Oh, not really. But on a beach in the Coromandel for 2 weeks. So I'm really looking forward to that. And I'm also really looking forward to what's in store for us as a church this year. And I'm really, truly grateful for each of you and the opportunity to work for the gospel of Jesus alongside you. Let's pray. loving God. I think it's just still, it's just amazing that every Christmas we dwell afresh and perhaps at a deeper level than other parts of the year about the incarnation, about you becoming human, the Word of God becoming flesh. And we think of, as we consider and think of you as a 12-year-old and all that that would mean, I bet you were a heap of fun to be around. And I'm sure there were some challenges too. And as our hearts turn towards this age group a bit more this year, God, we ask that there would be a finding of favour with you and with people. We ask that you would help build this age group amongst us. For those who have been drawn to you through the work of your people here, in our community over many years, that there would be a drawing of these younger people to you this year, God. Help us to consider what our part in that might be, whether that's just supporting alongside at times where there might be some interactions or praying or getting involved in some other way. We thank you for this faith community. We thank you for all ages. And we lift up our youth, our preteens, and those coming into that age group as well to you, God, and ask that, like Jesus, that they too would continue to grow in years and in maturity and wisdom and find favour with you and with people. Amen.